Today I'm dealing with how to deal with the hurts in life. How many know that all of us have hurts in life? And we all process those hurts differently. Sometimes we get hurt, and the people that hurt us don't even mean to. Growing up, we can be hurt as children, and they can create issues in our life that wind up causing us to process life through those hurts. So today I'm going to speak about that. I want to deal with the hurts that are in mine and your lives. That one, they could be old, and they could be new hurts. These hurts were probably formed in your life, and it affects how you interact with people. Hear me. These hurts, these issues in our life, they affect how we interact with people. It's all going to become a little bit clearer in a moment. I've got some five things that I'm going to talk about. Number one, life hurts. And most of us in life do not know how to deal with the pain that comes from hurts. Most people in life do not know how to deal with the pain that comes through the hurts in life. We just don't. And the older we get, guess what? The more we have to deal with the hurts in life because they accumulate. You know, the older you get, the more hurts in life and the more they accumulate. And if you would, just stop and think about that hurt gets deposited somewhere in our life. Call it a closet. Call it whatever you need to call it, that place in your life that you hide things. But we all deposit those things into that particular place in our lives. And as we deal with these hurts, some of these hurts may be from our own sin. We got hurt because we sinned in life. It could be that it was a failure from somebody else in our life, or maybe even a betrayal from somebody close to us. Maybe it was a parental failure that we felt like that our parents failed us in some way or another. Maybe it was a death of a loved one, especially if it was a tragic or untimely death. There's things in life like this that bring deep hurts and pains into our life. Did you get me a water? Anyway, I'm sorry. That's what I meant about getting me the cases out of the water. Anyway, so we look at this. We look at the fact that, guess what? These life hurts. Don't just go away. How many of you just don't go away? Number two, unless we deal with pain properly when it occurs, it accumulates in our hearts. Let me just dispel an old rumor. Time heals nothing. Let me say it again. Thank you very much. Time heals nothing. I don't know where that came from, but it's a lie. Because if you don't deal with it, all time does is make it worse. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When we don't deal with things in life, all time does is make it worse. I don't know where it came about that time heals everything. It makes it worse. We all know people in our lives that maybe they're older. Actually, very old. And at the right moment, the right time, the right conversation, you get to talking, and next thing you know, it starts coming out. Maybe the next thing you know, this older person is weeping and crying because a hurt that happened maybe when they were 9 years old or 10 years old in their life, and they've never been able to get over it. See, because time doesn't heal. And that, not necessarily does everybody that hurts somebody meant to. Sometimes hurts can be inflicted upon us as children. And the adult that did the hurting, or the child that did the hurting, didn't mean to inflict that hurt into our lives. But it doesn't change the fact that it came. So we know that just like this older person, this person that we may have known, maybe even a younger person, that pain at the right moment comes out. Let me just say this. Emotions are only healed in the presence of God. Let me say it again. Emotions are only healed in the presence of God. You're not going to have those emotions healed by any other way on this earth. Some person's not going to heal that hurt that may be inflicted in your life. They're not capable. God is the only one that's capable of healing and dealing with the hurts and the pains in our life. And us getting into God's presence is what heals it. Number three, accumulated pain and unresolved problems compromise our mental, emotional, and spiritual and relational health. Let me say it again. Number three, accumulated pain. Pain is built up into that place in our life. And unresolved problems that compromise our mental, our emotional, our spiritual, and our relational health. That's the whole ball of wax. As things build up and accumulate in our lives, they begin to compromise us. And everybody in here is compromised in some way, shape, form, or fashion. All of us have allowed things to build up in our lives in places that we shouldn't. So when we look at this, that is why we must empty out that particular place or that hurt locker, if you might call it, that hurt closet. We put all the hurts and pain. We must empty that closet out, that place out, that's accumulated and stored up and hurts. We must empty it out in the presence of God. We are not capable of healing ourselves. Time is not capable of healing us. People and programs are not capable of healing our hurts and issues. Only God is. Amen. Period. But that takes responsibility on our part. I'm going to get real vulnerable with you. Some of y'all I've shared this with before. My wife's already being scared on the front row. But it's about me. I was thinking back this week in my life. It seemed like as a young man I was always mad, angry. And that because I was always mad and angry, I felt like I needed to make everybody around me in life miserable. I didn't realize that probably consciously. I made my teachers miserable. I made my leaders around me miserable. I made my family, my mother, my father miserable. I was always fighting, getting into trouble. And this week I asked myself, when did I change? What happened in my life? What moment happened in my life that caused me to be changed from being a good little boy and an emotionally healthy little boy into being angry and just absolutely contempt for life and people? When did it happen in my life? I prayed and I thought a lot this week, and I came up with this. I'm convinced this is when it happened. And I don't even know that my mother meant to do it. But I shared that there was a time in my life where I felt like my mother tried to give me away to a lady. Tried to talk me into going living with her. And the lady didn't have a son, so... And I was about 9 years old, maybe eight. That's pretty young. And I remembered, as I was thinking about this, why does she want me out of her life? What is it that she doesn't like about me that she wants me to go live somewhere else? And at that moment in my life, I'm convinced that that's when my spirit was broken. I'm convinced that that's when it all changed in my life. Because after that, I got mad. And I believe that I stored up that pain from that moment over and over and over and over and over again in my life. And how many know that I didn't get healthier and healthier? It didn't do me better and better by storing and not dealing with it. Now, as a 9-year-old boy, I didn't know how to deal with it. You say, well, what does that got to do with that, Pastor? Because I believe most people in here probably can look back someplace in their life and see that something happened in your life that caused things to change. Now, you may not have become angry and bitter like I did. You may not felt like that you were enraged in life, but you may have felt like that there's a moment in life that changed for you, where it all changed. And you started seeing life and you started processing life different because of that moment in your life that it changed. And when we look, we start thinking about that thing that happens on the inside of us. When I'm convinced that making everybody pay, making everybody miserable, making people go through issues is because of the pain that's accumulated in us. See, it compromised me mentally. It compromised me spiritually. Emotionally, in every way, I became a very unhealthy person at a very young age. Maybe you did. Maybe there's a point in life that you became very emotionally unhealthy because of something that happened. And maybe that something that happened started something. And it wasn't just necessarily that one particular thing, like I think I'm able to look back in my life, but maybe it started something, and that's where you started depositing the hurt because of that thing, and it started building up and building up and building up. And maybe it wasn't one some big thing, but just accumulation of smaller things. Because of that, I don't think my dad was a bad guy either, but he told me all my life I was an accident looking for a place to happen. I probably was. But you know, when you're a young kid, and adults say that thing, those kind of things about you, you're like, do you really mean that? So you take those things in personally. Can I get anybody that I can identify with maybe things were said in your life? Even saying that our parents weren't necessarily bad. They didn't mean to hurt us, okay? Maybe it wasn't even a parent. Maybe it was a teacher that said something or did something. I assure you they probably never meant it to be hurt. And the way that it became across and happened in your life. Number four, we deal with pain in some way, right or wrong. We deal with pain some way, right or wrong. All of us deal with pain one way or the other. We either deal with it right or we deal with it wrong. But we have to deal with it. We have to deal with the pain in our life. We have to deal with the hurts. King David is who I'm going to use to start with. Actually, I'm going to be talking about three people today. David, Solomon, and Absalom. And King David was a wounded son. Think about it for a moment. King David was a wounded son. And because he was wounded, I'm convinced he didn't deal with that pain well. And so therefore he wound up passing it on to his sons, although not all of his sons, two in particular ones I'm going to talk about today, Solomon and Absalom. Let's look at David for a moment. David's the son of Jesse. There's eight children. He's looked over. The prophet comes looking for the next person. They don't even think enough of David to go get him. He's out tending sheep, so they don't even think about going and getting him. Just leave him out there. And Jesse looks at, prophet looks at Jesse and says, is this all the sons you got? Well, that tells me a couple of things. One, how many know when you got eight kids, that last one's probably not as big a deal in your life? I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm just being truthful. My kids have had to learn when you got 15 grandkids. You know, there are none that are special. You love them all. Okay? That's the truth. Jesse probably wasn't a bad father. He was probably just trying to deal with life. And he was probably thinking, David's the smallest, the youngest. He's probably not the one the prophet wants in the first place. But what kind of hurt and pain do you think that might have inflicted into David's life? He didn't even think enough about me to come get me. He didn't even think me worthy to put in a lineup as his son. It probably hurt him emotionally. And because it hurt him emotionally, he probably deposited that. I'm pretty sure I can see it in David. Because see, David didn't always deal with things. Matter of fact, a lot of times David didn't deal with things. A lot of times David would just leave them alone and let them lie. I think that David, Solomon, and Absalom are the perfect example of how not to deal with pain in life. And I'm going to show you how. Y'all getting anything out of this yet? So they dealt with it in three distinctly different ways. Each one of them dealt with it differently. As I was looking back over their lives, looking back, studying what had happened in their lives, preparing for this message. See, David medicated his pain. When we deal with pain and we medicate, it begins to look like this. Maybe it's a little alcohol to start with. Maybe it's just drugs here and there, whether it be emotional to calm me down, my nerve, my things. Maybe it's overeating. Maybe it's just eating helps me to calm my nerves or deal with issues, to medicate my things. Maybe it's gambling. I go wind up gambling because it helps me medicate and forget about the hurts and the things in my life that have gone wrong. Maybe it's how I look. And I become obsessed with exercising or doing whatever to get to the place where everybody thinks I look good, or I think I look good in the eyes of everybody else. There's all these different things. We've known, how many of you know people that get into exercising so much so that it consumes their life? I'm not talking about you, Sid. She does it for a living. There's a difference. She's making money at it. But I'm talking about those people that literally, I mean, it consumes them. I'm not talking about professionals. I'm talking about it becomes who they are. I've known people in my life. I'm not saying don't exercise, okay? Some of us need to exercise, and I put myself in that boat too. But I'm saying, why do we do it? See, all those things are why. Why do we do those things? I could have went on a long list of things. I'm convinced that if you ask an alcoholic, they'll tell you, alcohol is not the problem, my pain is my problem. Ask a drug addict, they'll tell you, drugs are not the problem, the pain in my life is the problem. And the gambler and so on and so forth, okay? Because the issue is not the issue. Something else. See, David, he had a sex problem. And yet he had many wives and concubines. And one day he saw Bathsheba, another man's wife, taking a bath. And he conceived in his heart that he'd have her. So what does he do? He gets her. He has a relationship with her. And to cover it up, he winds up having her husband killed to cover up his sin. Kids, look at me. All you young people. People may say things to you in life. You may go through issues in life that wind up causing a hurt to be in your life, but you can't let that be what consumes you. You can't be let that be what defines who you are. You need to put that pain, that hurt, and that rejection in the right place. Because I know that most of us have ever been through a divorce, been through a separation, been through a trauma. A lot of times, guess what we do? We think it was our fault as kids. Let me just say this to all the kids. It's not your fault. It's adults' fault. Okay? You didn't have anything to do with it. But say somebody else comes along and says that you did so-and-so, you're such-and-such, or you're a loser, you're dumb, or you're fat, you're skinny, you're this, you're that. Guess what? All those are lies. None of that has to do with who you are. Adults, maybe you were told those things in life. None of that means anything. You say, yes, it doesn't hurt me. It only means something if you allow it to. If you allow it to go to that place where it brings hurt and pain in your life, it means something. But if you put it where it belongs, in the presence of Almighty God, the first thing He's going to do is He's going to shed light on it and say, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not who you are. That's not who I created you to be. This is who I created you to be. So as we put things in the light, it makes all the difference. David was dealing with this, and we think, well, what was David's pain? What was David's hurt? What was David's... Well, we know that he was overlooked by his father. I don't believe he had much relationship with his father because he was the last of eight children. There just wasn't much of dad left. I know that Drew, because of the kids that we raised, by the time that he came along, I'd done the baseball and the coaching and all that stuff a lot more. By the time he came along, I'm like, I'm tired. Not so much with the kids, dealing with adults. How many of you ever coached any kind of baseball? You know what the biggest problem with all that is? It ain't the kids. It's adults. It's always the adults. You know, like, won't you just go home and leave the kids here? We'll be fine. Right? That was free, by the way. When you look at the fact that David had these issues, you see that, again, like I said, the issue is never really the issue. David got sucked into the sin that was in his life. Even AA, the first step in AA tells you got to fess up. In life, dealing with pain, first thing you got to do is guess what? You got to fess up. You got to acknowledge that there's this issue there. You got to acknowledge that it happened in your life. You got to acknowledge that you took the hurt. You got to acknowledge that it exists in your life. Because if you don't, it's never going anywhere. I got plenty of time. I hadn't gone over my time. The second was Solomon. I want to talk to you about Solomon. See, David medicated his pain, but Solomon motivated his pain. You say, what? I'll explain it. See, his pain, when we look at him, how did he deal with his pain? He was the ultimate workaholic. He was the ultimate overachiever. So for him, I mean, look at it. He built the greatest kingdom in the history of the world. He was the richest man that's ever lived. And you looked all through his life, he was constantly building, doing, building, doing, building, doing. He was motivating his pain. How many of you know? I'm going to just give you a little trivia, right? Do you know he owned so much gold that at one point all the silver was piled up outside the city and declared worthless? He had so much gold. How many of you know that's rich? Now, put that in modern day standards when you and apply for inflation. Guess what? His wealth would look greater than our deficit in America. That's big, isn't it? So he was rich. And he was rich because he was driven. Anybody in here ever driven? Just me? I know you are, a few others. People that are driven, guess what we do? We usually motivate our pain. We take it, we apply it, and we do stuff. We're usually always doing stuff. He built and he did, he built and he did, he built and he did because he motivated pain. And you may ask, what was Solomon's pain anyway? Well, he was the son of David and Bathsheba, for one. I mean, he was the son of a scandal. Think about it. He was born into this world and his father, was the killer of his mother's husband because he was the child that caused his wife's husband to get killed. That's number one. So when we look at the fact that he was the son of a scandal, his father killed his mother's husband to cover up his birth. He killed his brother to become king. He killed Absalom. Solomon killed Absalom. So there's lots of reasons for Solomon to have pain in his life. There's lots of reasons for him to motivate his pain. He would have been on what were those little papers you see in Walmart? Yeah, what do you call those? Yeah, tabloid, the Daily Caller or whatever they are, the Inquirer. He'd have been on every one of them every week because his life was such a scandal coming into his kingship. Think about it. So he had plenty of reason to be a child of pain, to have stored up all this pain. See, when you read the Bible, do you look deeper into seeing what were these people going through? Because it's real simple to just read over it and not see it. Well, he was a great king and he had awesome. But the truth is, I can read. As a matter of fact, I'm fixing to read it to you. And I'm going to show you he was a man of pain. He was a man of hurt. And talk about his family in dysfunction. Think about David's family. How would you like to have been raised in that family? I'm going to share a few more dysfunctions that are going on in his family in just a moment. We just think, you should just go read this story so you can feel better about your life. I mean, if they'd thought about it back in the, when they came up with Webster's Dictionary and they would come up with pain or dysfunction, they'd have put David's face right there. Because his family was dysfunctional. I'm convinced that that's the reason why God did it. To give all of us hope. Because if you look, God didn't always pick the ones that did everything perfect. Matter of fact, he picked out the misfits, the ones that were jacked up, right? Well, y'all are quiet today. I hope y'all are learning something. Ecclesiastes 2:9. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. He's telling us what's going on. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hand had done, and all the labors in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. What was he saying? He said, all the things that I did, all the motivating of my pain, trying to cover it up by building and doing, guess what? It was nothing. I withheld nothing from myself. Pleasures, women, money, drinking, partying, whatever you want to name. Prestige. He said, I didn't withhold anything from myself. Then he got to a place in his life and he said, guess what? It all meant nothing. In all my labor, in all the work of my hands, he's telling us, I did all that. Guys, look at me. Sometimes in life, we wind up trying to build us a life, build us certain things. One of the things I've learned in life, more than money, more than all the other things, is our kids don't care whether we got a lot of money. What they care, were you there? That's what they care. They don't care about all the stuff that doesn't matter. That's what matters most in life. I think Solomon had figured that out at the end of his life. Remember what I said earlier? The older we get, the more pain and hurt we wind up dealing with because we get more accumulated in our life. When you're motivating your pain and when you're dealing with the pain, you're doing. You're driven. Think about it. Are you a doer? Are you driven? And if you are you motivating your pain? Are you driven because of your pain? Are you doing these things because of the hurts and pains in your life? Maybe you were told in your life that you're fat, ladies. Men, maybe, ladies, you were told your seat was too big. Your legs were too big. I mean, I'm being honest. And maybe you were told these things, and so you started compensating in life and because of the hurt that you have been inflicted. Maybe it's your father that did it. Maybe it was your brother that did it. Maybe it's people around you that did it, that throwed these insults or throwed these things at you, and you wind up putting them in your life. Because guess what? We're living in a world that, ladies, y'all are bombarded constantly that life, you need to look a certain way, you need to act a certain way, and y'all wind up having to live under all this pressure. Can I get an amen, ladies? All right. Because of this, brings around hurts, insecurities, pains. You store them up. And then you start overcompensating in other areas to cover up for it. We look, maybe you look to doctors. Young, figure that one out. And when you're hiding from God, and all of this, when you're doing all these other things out here, trying to deal with the pain, when you're hiding from God, you're hiding from your healer. Let me say it again. When you're doing all these things out here in the world, trying to deal with the hurt and the pain, you're hiding from the only source of healing you got, and that's God. He's your healer. He's the only one that can heal it. Absalom, he meditated his pain. Absalom meditated his pain. You see, his pain was when his brother, we talked about this morning in our prayer time, his half-brother raped Absalom's sister, Tamar. And his father, David, did nothing about it. So Absalom's having to deal with the fact that his sister had been violated by his half-brother. What was his name? Haman? Huh? Ammon, yeah. He was tortured by it. He loved his sister. And his half-brother rapes her. And you got to understand something. We're living in a culture where women didn't mouth a lot. But that didn't change the fact that Absalom loved his sister, and he was absolutely furious because this had happened to her. And then David doesn't do anything. I mean, David was great in a lot of ways, but a lot of ways he wasn't. A lot of ways he was a wimp. He said, "You wouldn't say that about King David. I just said it." We look, here is Absalom. His father doesn't do anything. For 2 years, he doesn't do anything. We're not talking about 2 weeks. We're not talking about 2 months. We're talking about after 2 years, he'd still done nothing. Well, guess what happened in this 2 years? Absalom is stewing, meditating. That's how he meditates his pain. He stews on it. How many stewers we got in here? How many meditators? You stew on it, and you meditate on it, and you stew on it, and you think about it, and you meditate on it, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, till finally, guess what he does? He said, "I can't take it anymore," and he goes and kills his brother. And guess what? David has to, he's got to carry some of that guilt, because if he'd have done something, maybe Absalom wouldn't have killed his brother. Maybe he wouldn't have felt like he had to. Am I ministering to anybody today? When we look at this particular group of men, I see that he kills his brother. Then guess what? He has to run from the kingdom because of what he did. How many of us had to run from something because we stewed and we meditated and we did something and next thing we know we had to run or this got off limits to our life and so we couldn't go there anymore and next thing you know we're banned. And so Absalom's banned outside the kingdom for years. So what does David do? David, over years, he's still not done anything. Even with Absalom, he hadn't done anything. So he goes and gets him. Think about all those years that Absalom's away and David hadn't done anything. Do you think he's feeling good about his father about now? I'm thinking he's probably hating him about now. And David goes and gets him and brings him back. Well, guess what happens? Absalom tries to kill his father. Why? Because he's had plenty of time to stew on it. He hadn't been dealing with the hurt and the pain in his life. He hadn't done anything with it. He hadn't brought it to God. He hadn't done what's right. So he stews and he meditates on it until, guess what? He tries to kill his father. Well, guess what? Then Solomon comes along. Guess what? Solomon has to kill his brother Absalom. People that meditate, they stew, they become negative, they become angry, they become cynical, they become bitter, hate-filled, and people in your life never seem to measure up. Why? Because man can't fix your pain. That's why people never measure up. They will be able to measure up. How many of you know that when you allow yourself to become angry and embittered, cynical, it's going to take a toll on you? Because guess what's going to happen next? You're going to be like a magnet. And people that are like that are going to be attracted to you. Next thing you know, you're surrounded by people that are negative. They're cynical. They're hate-filled. Guess what? None of you stand a chance. Why? Because that's not going to fix your problem. In Matthew 11:28, it says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Think about what he's saying. He said, "Come to me. Don't go to there. Come to me. I'm the one that'll give you the ability." Then he says in Matthew 12:20, "A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering flat, a wick he will not snuff out till it leads justice to his victory." What's he saying? This means that if you're the most shattered, broken life in this world, he will not deal with you in a severe and rough way. He is your healer, and he's the only one that can heal you. And if you'll just come to him, he will take that devastation of your life, he'll touch it, and he'll heal it. Amen. I'm promising I'm almost over. I got 10 minutes, and I'm going to quit. He will take the devastation, he'll touch it. Medicators cause pain because of their addiction. Motivators cause pain because of their avoidance. They avoid issues. And then meditators cause pain because of their attacks. The only way to stop the hurt and totally resolve it is to turn towards God. Then I'm going to read you something. Matthew 5:4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." All right, for just a moment, Jesus always tells the truth, but I'm going to disagree with Jesus for a moment. Then I'm going to come back and agree with him. You'll understand in just a second. For a moment, I'm going to disagree with him, but then I'm going to agree with him because he always tells the truth, okay? He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." There are a lot of people who mourn who are not blessed. Is that not right? There are a lot of people all over the world who are in anguish, and they are not blessed and they're not comforted. So when you simply read this, you would think that people who are mourned are blessed, and that's incorrect. Let me just offer you a better understanding of what Jesus is saying here. I'm going to my last page. "Blessed are those who turn their pain towards God, for their pain will be validated and understood and healed." That's what it means by "blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." It's not, because if those that mourn were comforted, then there's lots of people we know in life that they mourn and they're not comforted. Why? Because they're not turning to God. They're not turning to the Lord and letting him take their emotional pain and heal it. Jesus is not saying that you're blessed because you mourn, but you're blessed because you're turning your pain towards him. He's talking about a nation that's living under Roman rule. And he's telling them that they'll turn their pain towards him and they'll come to him, then he'll heal them. He will take care of that pain. Emotional pain only is healed in the presence of light. I'm closing. Three things again. Number one, honesty before God. You got to be honest. Two, responsibility to God. And three, mercy from God for me and those who have hurt me. Today, in dealing with our pain, you have an opportunity today to allow God to do something with the hurt and the pain that's been in your life, that's been dictating who you are. It says that You're this way because you're rejected. You're this way because they didn't want you. You're this way because... But in closing, I want you to understand that all that can stop today. If I can get you to stand to your feet. I know it's late. I know it's almost 12. But I felt like today is a powerful message in the fact that we need to allow God to heal those places in our life so that we're not dictated to by those hurts of who we are and who we're going to be. If I just get you to bow your heads. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I know that you desire for us to be whole. And you never meant for us, Lord, to feel rejected, maybe as a little boy that was being given away, or a young girl that was being told that she was a certain way, or she was too bossy, or she was this, or a young boy that was told that he was dumb, or he was, I think, God, I thank you that you're able to heal all those thoughts, because that is not who we are. We are who you say we are. Lord, I'm just asking that those that are here today allow you to bring the light, shine it upon their hurt. And God, from this day forward, they'll be able to walk free from those things in life. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, today's a perfect day for that to happen. I'm going to ask you that if you have a hurt, you've got a pain, I believe that if you'll just meet with one of our prayer team, or maybe even come just bow at the altar between you and God. Don't leave here without those emotional hurts being healed in your life. Without God being able to say to you, this is who you are, not that. Whatever your hurt and pain is today, I encourage you to not leave here without letting God, without letting Jesus be Lord over all of it. God bless each and every one of you. I pray that you're blessed beyond measure today.